Hello guys and welcome to the James Sinclair podcast. This is the big entrepreneurial show and this session we're talking to Chris Ducker, who's with me, who likes waistcoats as well, which is fabulous.
Hey, look, if there's another man in the same room as me that loves waistcoats as much as me, we're instant best buddies.
That's it. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Chris, for listeners, because we discovered you on, I think, Instagram, and we thought we need to meet up with this guy. Just tell everyone just a little bit about you. Go, go, go.
Good Lord. Well, I was born at a very young age. Yeah. I've been an entrepreneur 15 years.
Yep.
Two companies over in the Philippines. Lift to Sell Group, which is a large call center operation. Yeah. Virtual Star Finder, which is a VA recruitment training hub. Then we have youpreneur.com. Most people online know me through my work with Youpreneur. So Youpreneur is ultimately a education company for business owners, solopreneurs, experts, leaders, yeah, that want to build a genuinely future-proof, profitable business based around them and their personal brand, their expertise, and the people that they want to serve. And so we do that through, you know, our membership platform, which is the Youpreneur Academy.
Yep.
Then we have Rise of the Youpreneur, which is the best-selling book. Then we have the Youpreneur Summit, which is our annual conference, which we hold in London every November. And then we have the Youpreneur Incubator, which is our mastermind program.
So talking about the rise of the Youpreneur, translate Youpreneur from proprietary language into what people understand.
Look, a Youpreneur, somebody would identify as being a Youpreneur if they are a coach, an author, a consultant, a speaker, a content creator. So in today's new media terms, podcaster, blogger, live streamer, YouTuber, whatever the case may be. Anybody really building a business based around their expertise,
it's a personal
and
brand,
their personality and their personal brand ultimately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get that. To benefit the wider use of
course,
the business.
Yeah.
Let me just, because there's some, you know, before we came onto the podcast, some pretty amazing statistics here. You've built a podcast that's had 7 million downloads or 7 million listens.
Yes.
How have you done that? How long has it taken to do
bribery, James?
Bribery? What do I have to bribe you to tell us? I think that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't think there's many people that have done that.
I always say, look, one of the easiest ways to build large numbers online, and regardless of how you want to look at them, whether they're Twitter followers or podcast downloads or web visitors or video viewers, whatever it is, they are ultimately just vanity metrics.
Yep.
So I don't pay too much attention to them.
But 7 million is something that
it's a big number.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big number. But it comes about because of being very, very, very consistent.
Yeah.
Providing very, very high quality, regular content. So we're talking a weekly show. Week in, week out, month after month, year after year.
How many years?
We're coming on 7 years now.
Three years away from a decade.
There you go. So about a million downloads a year, actually, if you look at it like that.
Can you remember the first year? Did you have no one listen?
Yeah, pretty much.
How long did it take for the hockey stick? Because I think with
there's content, always the hockey stick.
Yeah, I think that's right. When I talk about content marketing to people all the time, you know, you tend to find people it's slow. Then all of a sudden they get this spike after a good few years. It's like opening a radio station. No one listens to it. Then year four, five, it really kicks in. And the same with like TV shows and stuff like that. I didn't watch Game of Thrones until like 4 years in.
Right.
And everyone said, have you heard of this show?
Yeah.
And then I was hooked.
Yeah.
But I was like, so their hockey stick was vroom.
Yeah.
You know, and even with the big, you know, no one really watched it for the first couple of years and then bang, it was in. So come on, 7 million downloads. And how long did it take you to think, oh my God, wow, we've got an audience here?
I would say realistically, probably about 3 years. You know, we did very well. I remember the first month that we did like 30,000 downloads in a month. Obviously, we're well over that now, but I remember doing that for the first month, probably a couple of years in, and thinking to myself, oh my God.
That's impressive.
We've got 30,000 downloads in the last 30 days. Yeah. That's crazy. And honestly, it just, it came down time and time again. It just came down to doing one of two things. Answering people's questions.
Yeah.
Or providing a solution to a problem that they were experiencing. So it could be something along the lines of, hey, Chris, I've just started my YouTube channel. I want to be able to grow the subscribership. How do I do that? Well, I'm going to answer that question in a 15-minute podcast episode, giving you four or five main tips of, you know, consistently coming up with ideas for new content, showing people behind the scenes, blah, 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 blah. Or it would be, Chris, I have got three virtual assistants working for me. One of them is consistently calling in sick or just going AWOL for a week at a time. How do I get him on the same page as my other two VAs who are both superstars? Like, what's missing company culture wise? What do you suggest? And so it'd be a solution to the problem, answers the question.
So one of the things that we always say about content creators and building this personal brand stuff, I think one of the most essential things that only does come with time is making sure you've got a back catalogue, so that when someone does discover you,
they can dive in.
They can go into this spider web, if you like, and stuff. Do you agree or disagree?
I 100% agree, without a doubt. No, the archive is almost more important than the new stuff.
Yeah,
because of that exact reason. Because I believe as content creators, our number one goal is to become somebody's favorite.
Yeah.
So we got to become somebody's favorite podcaster or somebody's favorite YouTuber or somebody's favorite blogger or whatever it is. And you can only do that. People are very, very quick to cast their own kind of, you know, conclusions on somebody when they meet somebody for the first time, whether it's in person or whether it's virtually through a piece of content. So if you discover me and you like my vibe and what I'm talking about, and then you go to chrisducker.com and you realize that I've only been around for 5 minutes, that might drop down that view of me.
Yep,
but if you do that and you go to my website and you realize I've been blogging for years, podcasting for years, and there's tons of content for you to get your teeth into, you're going to fall more in love with me, the more, hopefully anyway, the more you'll discover about me. And that's why the archive is so important.
So going back to this building 7 million, so the things that we talk about is consistency, content, character or charisma, if you like, making sure you're on the right channels, which I want to talk to you about in just a second, and collaborations. How important are collaborations being to grow?
They've been huge, particularly with podcasts.
You don't want to do it anymore.
Well, no, because I'll tell you why. So the show, to give some context to that, the show has ultimately always been a mix of interviews and solo shows. So generally on a monthly basis, we'll have two interviews and two solos intermingled with each other. Recently, we did a big audit, my team and I, of our content, not just the download numbers themselves, which are important, obviously, but also things like reviews on iTunes, for example, and what people were saying in those reviews as well.
Yeah.
You know, were they always mentioning how great my guests are? Or were they saying, Chris breaks down complex issues in easy to follow steps on his shows? Like, that will tell you kind of what they're getting out of it, right? Sharing on social media, comments on social media, likes on social media. We went right back over the last 18 months or so. And it was
because you didn't, if you've got really good guests, then I think that makes a difference, doesn't it?
It does, but you've got to look at, for me.
When I say good guests, I mean interesting.
Interesting. That's the thing. Going to turn up and drop their value bombs and walk away. Thank you for playing, right? Yeah. And I've had tons of those guests.
Yeah.
Many of them have come onto my show on a number of occasions. Like I think of people like, you know, Pat Flynn, Gary Vaynerchuk, John Lee Dumas, you know, people who are genuine legends in the US space, who I've gotten to know very well and become friends with for years.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. You got a new book out, Gary? Want to come on the show? Yeah, man, absolutely.
Yeah.
No-brainer, fourth time, fifth time on. Yeah. So they'll come on a number of occasions. So collaborations are important, but I want to clarify, just because we are switching to a solo-only format, because of the data, because it's proven that the solo shows are more popular en masse, that doesn't mean that the collaborations stop.
Yeah.
It just means that we switch the focus from the podcast to recording those interviews in video format and sticking them up on social, on other platforms.
Well, Chris, I think you should get me in to interview me on your podcast.
I would love for you to come on.
I would give you some great answers to some very difficult questions.
Let's do some stuff. I'm all about that.
I'm good. So
I love the way you self-invite yourself onto my show, on your show.
Chris, thank you for asking me. I will do it for you. That's fine. I don't mind doing it. I'll come to you too.
Good for you.
I mean, I just think that you've really achieved something there to get 7 million downloads from really with no, just amazing. And I think you should pat yourself on the back for that.
I will.
I will send you some gold stars. Let's talk about, so how many books have you put out?
Two.
What are they called?
First one was called Virtual Freedom. Virtual. Published in 2014.
And that is?
Focused entirely on working with virtual assistants and building teams of remote workers.
And this is the bit I really want to get into because more than anyone else, and I know some people have done some VA stuff. We used to get some people in the Philippines to do some search engine optimization
and all SEO
of that
stuff. And everything. Yeah,
yeah. We had one full timer, and then you just dropped your bombshell. How many have you got out in the Philippines?
Well, we've got. I mean, in terms of virtual assistants.
Yeah.
So I would. I need to clarify. Virtual Staff Finder, which is the VA company.
Yeah. Sorry, that's a bit.
Is a recruitment company. Right. It's not a service-based company.
Yep.
So we have a team of, I believe, there's about 16 people that work on that business.
Yep.
Full time, but through Virtual Staff Finder, we have seen, I believe, about 7, maybe 8,000 VAs hired since. What, 2010?
But of course, you've got 16 staff in the Philippines that work just for you.
Just for Virtual Staff Finder. Then there's the call center, which is at like 400 or something.
So you've got 416 staff in the Philippines, and you live in the UK.
Yeah,
but
I
have.
But I haven't. But I haven't for very long. Fine. I've been over in the Philippines for a long time. Set up the businesses while living there, and just moved back to the UK last year. So that the business.
But when we're talking about last year, that was still practically 10 months ago.
Yeah.
So you've got 416 staff. Mm. Have you been back in the last 10
once.
Months? Once in the last 10 months?
4 days. I went to the office once when I was there.
So practically you haven't been there for 10 months. For the purposes of making this conversation really rather interesting, people will be listening going, how does this bloke manage 416 staff literally over the other side of the world? And I've been to the Philippines.
Delegation.
Yep.
You know, I delegate everything. I'm a master delegate.
What do those 416 people do for you?
Okay, so the big bulk of them are on the phones. It's a call center.
Yeah.
So they're doing everything from chat support to cart abandonment to lead generation,
good,
appointment setting, customer service stuff, all that sort of stuff.
And you would do that. So if someone's listening to this and go, yeah, I need some of that, you could organize that for them as
a client. Yeah, I mean, it's very much a B2B company. All of our clients are, you know, most of them medium-sized businesses, turnovers of, you know, probably 5 million US on average and up. We don't work on a client campaign unless it's got a minimum of 10 full-time employees as a requirement, because it's just not worth our while working on anything smaller than that at this point. Obviously, when we started, you know, you want one telemarketer, James?
Yeah.
We got you covered, don't you worry.
But as
time goes by, obviously, the business model changes. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the bulk of it. Obviously, there's a very strong management team, and I would be dead without them.
Yeah.
And we look after them. We mentor them, we pay them brilliantly, we treat them like families.
When you say pay them brilliantly compared to
30% above average across the board.
If you was employing someone in the UK to do that, say that's gonna cost you with pension costs and everything all in
way more.
£30,000 in the UK to get a telemarketer with all the NI, pension costs, holiday, the whole kit caboodle. What's the saving in the Philippines? What would that cost?
It's ridiculous. I mean I'm very careful not to talk that sort of type of numbers, particularly on shows like this, because your show's going to be around for a long time,
and
I don't want it to be out of date, right? So,
can you give us a percentage? Then?
A third on average in terms of running.
A third
costs,
less or a third?
A third of what you would pay here.
So, if it was,
for example,
Philippines would be 10,000. And UK would be 30,000 in any sort of role.
Yeah, a general virtual assistant to handle things like social media, calendar management, run your inbox for you, set up your flights, book your hotels, help you clear out your LinkedIn spam, and all that sort of type of stuff. Online savvy, 3 to 5 years experience will cost you around about, you know, the equivalent of 1,100 to 1,200 quid a month.
As of 2019.
Yes. Thank you for adding that in.
And is that a good salary for
the Philippines? That's a very, very good salary for the Philippines.
So what would a teacher earn in the Philippines?
Nothing. They're probably some of the most grossly underpaid, underutilized, under-respected individuals on the planet. It's a shame. Because actually the education in the Philippines is very, very good.
Yeah, I know.
It's all English speaking.
Yeah, they speak. They're all bilingual, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, like I've met teachers that make $300 a month full time. Oh. And they work way more than 40 hours a week.
Yeah, what's the culture of the people that work there, would you say?
Very family orientated individuals, Filipinos. So I mean, my wife is Filipino.
Wow.
So very family oriented.
Does that help you in managing your business?
Oh, without a doubt.
Because she understands
culture. Oh, yeah, I'd be dead without her.
does she manage those? She's
very much part of the culture, the HR, the manpower side of things. My side comes into the leadership role, the mentoring, the training, the marketing, the sales, obviously. And between the two of us, we're pretty formidable.
Wow.
I'm a lucky man.
Yeah.
If you're watching, if you're listening, darling.
He loves you.
Brownie points for me.
Let's just quickly go back to the content marketing. So we've got a podcast. You're also putting out quite a lot of copy, i.e. the written word.
Yep.
And you said you're putting 4 things a week out on that.
Yeah, we do about 3 or 4 blog posts a week.
Do you actually write them yourself?
No, I've got a team. But a lot of that content is repurposed from my podcast, from my YouTube videos, and that sort of type of thing.
Okay, if you was told you could only use one medium, the written word, podcast, or video, which one are you going for?
Mm. So here's the answer to that, and it's not a straight one, because I personally prefer audio. I prefer podcasts.
Yeah.
However, the world is telling us otherwise right now.
What's the world
Google
telling you?
Google is telling us that by the end of 2020, which is just a year away, ultimately, that 80 to 90% of all content consumed online is going to be video.
Yeah.
So even though I love audio and I'm all about podcasting, I think it's an incredible medium to learn. I think it's an incredible medium also to be able to entertain people. Video is slowly but surely taking over.
Yeah, I get that.
If I had to choose one,
yes,
I would go with audio because it's the one that I feel the most confident with. It's also the one that I know has made the most impact in the growth of my own business. But from a business savvy perspective, it might not be the best decision to make because so many more people are going to be getting involved.
Here's the interesting thing about podcasts. So I've never listened to podcasts. Mm-hmm. I just don't listen to them.
Here's the thing.
Until now. Okay. I've just started.
So why did it take you so long?
I don't know. I just thought, you know.
I know why, by the way. I know the answer to that question. But I'm curious to know what you think it is.
Probably accessibility. It's now easy because I've probably had it on my iPhone for ages. And the other thing is now I'm doing them, I want to listen to them more. But more and more people are telling me that they're listening to podcasts.
Right.
So, and I'm seeing what I call traditional media. So I'm a big fan of LBC, which is a very traditional radio station, talk radio station. I probably consume most of their content they're producing on the radio station after the fact via podcast, which is happening with TV, isn't it? You know, people are not watching TV live.
Yeah.
They're watching it in their own time after the fact. So what do you think it is?
Oh, I know for a fact why you've only just started listening.
I'm listening.
And that is because here in the UK, we are probably, on average, about 5 to 6 years behind new media and the marketing of it than compared to the United States.
So when you come to the text message, the US were way behind on text messages and the UK were way ahead.
It's a strange one. I
they've only just started doing texting a few years ago.
Yeah, it's crazy. But even at like my kids now, like, you know, I've got four kids. I got married very, very young. So I've got two grown-up kids of 24 and 21, and I've got a 10-year-old and I've got an almost 2-year-old.
Oh, wow.
My 10-year-old now.
I've got a 2-year-old.
Is that why we've both got bags under our eyes? Is that what it is? But if you were to ask my 10-year-old, if you were to meet him for the very first time, and you walked up to him and you said to him, "Hey, Charlie, what do you want to do when you grow up?" Hand, bang on, £1 million bet, slam down on the table.
He wants to be a YouTuber.
He would say, "I want to be a YouTuber."
Yeah, I know, yeah. That's what they all say.
That's the thing, because that's the way, like you say, people no longer consume TV when it's being actually aired. Yeah. It's all on demand. And that's why, like, you know, if you see these kids, freaking meltdowns. Kids, the Wi-Fi's not working! You have Wi-Fi. Like, we had pencils and Lego to play with when we were kids. You know what I mean? Like, it's when I was just literally on a plane back from Toronto maybe 2 weeks ago, and there was a guy in business class, MBA, having a full-blown meltdown because the Wi-Fi wasn't working for 15 minutes. Yeah. I paid for this service, and I wanted to tap the guy on the shoulder and just say, "Mate, calm down. You're sitting in a cylinder in the middle of the air, 35,000 feet above Earth, and you're worrying about not being able to connect to the internet for 10 minutes? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Take it easy a little bit." Things have changed. Technology's changed. And since I've been here back in the UK, the word podcast is now being thrown around a lot more than what it was when I would be, you know, I've been visiting the UK three, four times a year for years. So, but here's the thing. I was just listening to Heart Radio. I'm based out of Cambridge. And so that's what we listen to on the school run and everything. And I was, you know, if you want, you can listen to us on our podcast. And, you know, you can tell the DJ kind of knows what it means, but he's not 100% sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of concerning little bit. Whereas I've literally been publishing a podcast since 2010.
I mean, that is amazing. And at 2010, you would say 65% of your audience was international rather than the UK.
Oh, it still is now.
Still is now.
Still is now, yeah. But I mean, geographically speaking, unless you're very seriously only focused on one area, like, for example, the UK, if you're putting content out into the world that you are more than happy for anyone on the planet to find, consume, and share, which is what I've been all about, then you have to assume that you're only going to get listeners in the UK. So I don't think it's strange that that's still the case now. Just geographically speaking, the US is a massive country, obviously.
Yeah. Just quickly, has the podcast been profitable for you in terms of getting you customers?
Yes. I mean, we've done everything from direct sponsorship, companies coming to us wanting to sponsor the show, although we don't do it anymore, because we now have an ecosystem of products or services we can funnel people into, that it doesn't make it worthwhile to take a couple of thousand dollars off of a company that wants to say, "And this episode of Youpreneur FM is brought to you by blah, blah, blah," which is basically what you're going to make.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, half of that on average. So now we can go into different funnels.
I mean, I don't want to put a number on it, but would you say your podcast over the last 10 years has made you more than £1 million?
Oh, blimey. I mean, it's really hard to quantify.
More than £100,000.
Oh, definitely well over £100,000.
More than £500,000? I know it's how long is a piece of string, but has it got you people to
I mean,
your
we're
events?
Talking about, like, yes, definitely gets people to the events, definitely got coaching clients, definitely got consulting gigs, and definitely events. Got speaking gigs, definitely sold products, definitely got people to sign up for our services.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, over the last 9 years, £500,000, I have to say yes. I have to, but I don't know the exact
number.
But
I think that would impress people, because really, you're giving me up, I don't know, how long's one of your podcasts, half an hour?
Oh, I'd say on average about 30 minutes, depending on whether it's solo or interview, but an average of 30
minutes. And the podcast that you made 5 years ago is still working for you today, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, our content has been evergreen, meaning whenever you find it,
yeah,
it will still help you out. So you should listen. Obviously, there are certain things.
That is the work of the business owner. When you do work, it continues to work for you, proper leverage. That's why I like writing books. You write the book, and for years and years, it's still a lead magnet. And your podcast is the same.
But that's the kind of thing, that's the reason why I don't like the idea of talking numbers and dates and tools and stuff like that very often, because things change all the time. Like, I would never do an episode on, you know, the top five tips to help you get ranked on Google.
Got it,
for example,
because that changes all the time.
SEO changes every 15 minutes, you know, the three things you must be doing to get more eyeballs on your Facebook ads. Why waste your time? Why waste my time recording it? Because that content's going to be out of date 6 months from now, maybe even less than that. But why waste my listeners' time by them discovering me, going into the archive, clicking play on the episode, and realizing that half of the features don't even exist anymore.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, evergreen is everything. Yeah. I'd say 90% of our content that we've ever published is evergreen.
That's why it's like, you know, this, the, what we're doing here, this will go onto YouTube, one piece of content. It will go onto a podcast, two piece of content. So we've leveraged our work straight away. And, you know, it'll be there for 20 years.
Well, what you're doing is,
watch this.
Yeah. You're repurposing.
When you have even less hair.
The one. There we go. He knows how to, he knows how to flatter people.
I won't have hair by the time it's 20 years.
There you go. Well, I mean, because you have a 2-year-old, for, if not for any other reason.
I'll have it next year.
I mean, the repurposing nature of online content really gets me excited. You can see how I've sat up here because I'm about ready to roll out, right? You can literally, from a video clip, go to a podcast episode, to an infographic, to a series of blog posts, to
shareables,
a multitude of shareable images for social, and so on and so on and so on and so on. It's gorgeous. I love it.
Well, Chudders is it. That's what we do, isn't it, Chudders? He said that very quietly, but he said yes.
He doesn't sound very excited.
No, he doesn't, because he knows he has to do the work. Just quite, okay, to finish off, three things to grow your podcast.
Mm.
I'm asking you the three
things. Number one.
Number one.
Is to stay consistent with your publishing.
How consistent? At minimum what?
It really doesn't actually matter. There are some shows that publish once a month, but they'll be like 3-4 hour episodes, right? They're like bloody productions, these things, right? Or there are some shows that are a daily. So it really doesn't matter. Yeah. it genuinely, honestly, James, it doesn't matter what the consistency is. The most important thing is that when you say, we're going to publish Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 4 p.m. London time, tune in. You miss a Friday, you've lost.
Yeah.
You've got to be super consistent all the time. So that's number one, consistent. Number two, all meat, no fluff.
Yeah.
Don't need fluff. People don't need fluff. If they want that, they can look down at their belly buttons. Plain simple. Yeah. If people are tuning into your content.
What do you mean by all meat, no fluff?
I mean nothing but full-blown value bombs over and over and over again for 10 minutes, for 30 minutes, for 1 hour, whatever it is. No filler. Like if I pick up a copy of your book and I get, say, 30 pages into it, if you haven't dropped 4 or 5 value bombs on me in those 30 pages, I'm done.
Got it. Yep.
And the third one is to know your audience. And I don't mean know them loosely. Like you can't say, for example, I'm publishing this podcast for entrepreneurs that want to grow their business.
Yeah.
Are you freaking serious? Every entrepreneur on the planet wants to grow their business.
Yeah.
Right? So instead of doing that, niche it down. I'm publishing this podcast for entrepreneurs who are male between the ages of 35 and 50 who have gone through burnout and are now building their second or their third business. Now, yes, you're niching down to a much smaller audience, but when you're creating content specifically for Mike, who's gone through all those things, you will connect with him so tightly, so personally, that he will worship the ground that you work on and will share your content, will buy everything you put out, will turn up to your live events, will pick up your book and review it on Amazon and gift it to all his mates at Christmas and all the rest of it.
Depth, not volume. Got it?
Yeah.
What about optimizing your content? How do you get your content found?
Well, we repurpose. We repurpose like it's our job. So, for example, if we produce a podcast episode, and all of our podcasts actually are recorded in audio-only format. We don't have videos rolling. But we will turn an audio podcast into a video for, say, YouTube, 6-7 minute clip, highlights, images, maybe some B-roll, that sort of type of thing. We will then utilize certain sound bites, 30, 60 second sound bites, turn that into short video clips for Instagram, Twitter, and all the rest of it. And I mean, it's
Is there any way that you optimize your actual podcast so that it can be found, like when people go on the podcast platform?
The one thing that you can do is whenever you're uploading an actual episode of your show to your audio server, you should be able to also upload a transcription of that episode on that server as well. At the absolute very least, what you want to be doing is creating a separate page on your website where you're embedding the podcast episode.
Yes.
And then posting the transcription, at the very least, the transcription of that episode so that Google can find you as well.
That's a great.
And that's a big one.
So you can just send that to Rev, can't you?
Yeah, totally. Rev's the way to go with that. The funny thing is, though, very few podcasters do that. They stick it up on their audio server. They make sure that the title has got keywords and things like that in it. And then they kind of just tweet it out a whole bunch of times and forget about it. But that's not the way to do it.
And you do that with every one of your podcasts?
Every single one.
Yeah, smart.
Every single one.
Let's just quickly, before we round off, YouTube. How important is YouTube for you in growing your personal brand?
For me personally, it's not that important.
Why?
I think, well, we've got about 14,000 subscribers, something like that.
What an achievement.
I've
only got 2,500. Hey, well done you. I mean, it's hard to get YouTube subscribers.
It is. It's really, really, really hard. And I think unless you are, and I'm being really serious with YouTube, I think it comes down to two very distinct niches now, at this point anyway, right? It's your gamers.
Yep.
And the millennial crowd, the vlogging crowd, right?
Yeah.
Like my daughter, she's 21, my eldest daughter, and she watches these vloggers, and it's like, it's literally, "Hi everyone, I've just come back from Lidl. I spent £60, let's have a look in the bags." Yeah. Like that to me is like the most boring, bottomless type of content.
But the thing is, Chris, in 10 years' time, she's gonna be 31.
Yeah.
And she's used to the YouTube platform.
Yeah.
And she's going to be looking at more. So, and if you've got that big,
like, totally. And that's the thing. Yeah. So then, on the flip side of YouTube, I think it's the hardcore creators.
Yeah.
It's the people that genuinely are all about the visuals and the productions and stuff like that. And then I think what's happening is we've got a messy middle.
Yeah.
And the messy middle are people like me and you.
I'm just going to quickly look on here on how well your is it Chris Ducker your YouTube channel. Let's
have a look.
So what
I want to know what you're going to do here. This could go pear-shaped.
Well, I want to see just how fabulously you're doing while I'm waiting for that to load. And how long have you been putting content on YouTube?
Oh, God. I mean, I think I started publishing maybe 2009, 2010. But I'm so sporadic with it. That's my issue. One of the reasons why I haven't been able to grow my YouTube channel properly is because I'm really, really bad at consistently
doing that. What I can do for you to help you is I've got this team in the Philippines that can probably do that for you. Yeah. If I just had 416 people out there.
See, I'm a big believer. Here's the thing. I'm a big believer.
No, I'm just, you know.
That you can't do all the things all the time.
Unless you
and likewise,
team.
Well, no, even with the team, genuinely, likewise, you can't please all the people all the time. So I'm a big believer of serving stuff up to people where they want it and how they want it. And it just so happens that my audience, my community online, have enjoyed my blogs and my podcasts more than they have my videos.
Because it's harder work. Well, so I'm with you, mate. So we get more from LinkedIn, we get more from Instagram, we get more from Facebook. But here's the thing that I keep sort of spouting about YouTube is the YouTube viewer. An average session on YouTube is 40 minutes. That's what it is at the moment. And it's 40 seconds on all the other social platforms.
Yeah.
That's powerful. And also,
but that means you've got to create 40-minute videos.
Well, no, because
a lot of the time. they're jumping from one video to another.
So they're spending 40 minutes on a session on YouTube.
Okay.
So that's like TV, you know. You might be going and sitting down channel hopping, but 40 minutes on the on the platform. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing though, as well, as a YouTube view starts at 30 seconds and it's 3 seconds on all the other social platforms. So, you know, this is, you know, it's genuine real data. And
yeah, yeah. So yeah. I'm curious to know, how am I doing, Dr. YouTube?
So
it sounds like you know more about it than I do.
Well, you've had 690,000 views since you've
is that started. Good?
Well, 700,000 views.
It's not bad.
No, I know that's bad. No.
You can tell I literally don't know anything about YouTube. I mean, I know a little bit about how it works and why it's important.
I mean, Chudders knows more than me about, but if we had 12,000 subscribers, I think with little effort, you could really get that going.
Oh, look.
Because the algorithm that they say kicks in at 10,000 subs.
I think it's the consistency is the key, I think, more than anything. Yeah. And we're just not consistent on it. I want to get more consistent on it. I am very aware of what, you know, the world is saying and the powers that be online are saying in regards to video becoming more and more and more important. So I think you will find that, you know, you will see more video from me.
When did you say that you started on YouTube?
I don't know, 2009, 10?
No, you what first uploaded in 2007.
What did I upload? What video was it?
Well, I don't know that. I'm not. I've just been doing
I mean, it's probably me playing with my kids or something.
But
God
you
knows.
Should be proud to have 12,000 subscribers.
Oh, I'm proud of him. Don't
because
get me wrong.
That is, you know, there's not many people. I mean, let me just tell you where you are. You're in the top 604,000 YouTubers in the world.
How many YouTubers are there?
Well, millions.
Okay.
When you think about, if you think about, you know, how there's a billion people on Facebook, but out of all of the channels in the world, you're in the top 684,000.
I'll take that.
Which is
it's okay.
Now, when if you got that to, it really goes up exponentially. You know, mm-hmm. exponentially. Mm-hmm. Sorry, as you keep going, because there's less and less people. I think I like doing things that are a little bit harder work. I think it's a bit of a higher barrier to entry because that means they're not everyone can muscle in. And
well, we did a vlog. So as we prepared the move from the Philippines back to the UK as a family first and foremost, but also as a business as well, I said, you know what? This is going to be one of those eras in my life that will probably never be repeated again. So particularly in the same way of coming from there back here, so I want to document it, and we did just using these little bad boys, using my mobile phones, my team, my wife, and so we produced I think it was 8 or 9 episodes over the course of a few months, and it was hard bloody work because it was always like, oh, we need visuals, we need B-roll, we need cutaways, and so it was like whenever I was traveling, I might be getting ready to go on stage or something, and here I am sort of filming myself getting mic'd up by the AV guy, and it was just, it became a lot of work, and just I tell you what, it created massive amounts of respect in me for people that do that style of video content, what you guys produce when you're running around and doing all the stuff, massive amounts of respect both for you for being in front of the camera, but if I'm to be frank, more so probably for the dude behind the camera, the person editing, because for what you see on YouTube for 4 or 5 minutes, there's 6-7 hours of editing behind it if they're doing a decent job.
The other thing is as well is you have very little reward for so long.
Yeah.
You know, you're making this stuff that is such high quality, such editing quality, such energy and effort, and you're relying on the gods of YouTube to find you your audience.
Yes.
Unless you, I mean, what we do is we put content out on LinkedIn, Facebook, and try and feed it back into YouTube. But this is, you know, like you say, it just takes forever to build the audience, and I think it's amazing that you've got what you've
I will say though, the most important thing with any of this content is that you have to be very aware of the fact that you might put it up on YouTube, you might post it up on Facebook, you know, and all that sort of time, but understand you don't own these platforms. This stuff can be ripped out from underneath your feet at any time. So keep backups of everything. For example, inside of the Upener Academy, all of the videos that sit inside there, they could be unlisted YouTube videos.
And it
would work just fine. Yeah. But if anybody's paying for anything in any way, shape or form, it gets hosted with Wistia, which is an online video hosting company. So I know that if for whatever reason, if YouTube was to turn around and say, we don't like this guy,
his channel's going to die right now, click, because that's all it takes.
Yeah.
If that was to happen, it wouldn't affect the direct way that I make money with my customers,
yeah,
because everything's backed up and hosted, you know, internally with a service I actually pay for.
Well, Chris, I've really enjoyed talking to you. So
likewise,
the Upreneur event,
yes,
November, you've got a handful of tickets left. How can people find out about you? Just chrisducker.com.
They can go to chrisducker.com, or if they want to go directly to the conference website, it's just Upreneur Summit.
And we've got to be very careful how we say your surname.
You do.
it's
I've heard it all,
yeah,
over the
I'm
years.
Sure you have.
Every single one, trust
but
me.
But it's new for me,
yes,
and I find it funny.
Yeah.
It's D-U-C-K-E-R.
That's it.
That's with a D, and it's chrisducker.com. And that, but I'm sure that feeds off to everything, because that's quite
pretty
easy
much
to remember,
else,
isn't
yeah,
it? Yeah. I hope you just can't be the person that ever knocks anyone, because I mean, people have Phil know your name, wouldn't they?
Oh, ever since high school. Yeah. I've had it all, literally.
Good
all
stuff.
A lot of people in the industry, actually, when I travel around, I'll just be walking down corridors at events and stuff, and I just say, Ducker!
Yeah.
It's not even Chris, it's just Ducker! I sort of turn around like
fabulous,
that.
Fabulous, fabulous. Chris, thank you very much.
My pleasure,
I've really
mate.
Enjoyed this. See you real soon, guys. Comments and, you know, subscribe. Tell your friends. This has been a really, really good session. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.